Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you for mighty things you are going to do. Blessed be your holy name. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your faithfulness toward us in this ministry. We thank you for every gift you have freely given to us. We thank you for fighting our battles. We thank you for breakthroughs you have given to us. Thank you for moving us forward on every side. Thank you, Lord, for spiritual growth you have given to us. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is working in us, changing us to another person that looks like you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the revival of transformation, the revival of strength, the revival of victories, the revival of sanctification, the revival of holiness, purity that is happening in our spirit, souls, and bodies. We thank you for the revival of good health that is happening in us, revival of deliverance. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for saving our souls from darkness into your light. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that as we will be having another Bible study class right now, that you bless us from your throne in heaven. Rain upon us the glory of your presence. Let the understanding of your word, the understanding of your truth, the understanding of your ways be revealed to us in the course of this teaching. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you will do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We would be continuing from where we stopped during the last Bible study class. You know that we have been dealing with a topic or a theme. A broad topic that says how to develop a strong, or building up a strong relationship with God. So I'm going to continue from where we stopped during the last teaching class. We are going to be talking about point B. Point B, Jesus bought us. We belong to him. Jesus bought us. We belong to him. And this point B is under a subtopic that says our special relationship with God. I said it last week that the relationship we have with God is a very special one and very glorious and powerful. Though many Christians don't know it as that, but for few people, for few of us that know the that know how special our relationship with God is, we don't joke with that treasure, that special gift, which is our relationship with God. But many don't know that there is this bond between God and them. I mean, many Christians don't know that there is a bond between God and them, and that bond is a very powerful bond. It's a very special bond. So this point B is trying to, this point B is trying to make it simpler, if I can put it that way, as in make the understanding of the subtopic simpler. So the point B says Jesus bought us. We belong to him. And I said the subtopic is our special relationship with God. So God considers us as highly precious. God treasures us. He treasures our relationship with him because of the way he brought us unto himself. If I can put it that way. God values our relationship with him because it cost him his blood. Because of the way he brought us unto himself. So it makes him to really value his relationship with us. Jesus is of equal authority. Jesus is of equal status, equal level, power, dominion with God. So for Jesus to come down in form of a man to die, it is a sign of a great love for Jesus to come and save us with his blood. It shows a great love, such a great love that is too special, such a great love that is, how will I put it now? It's strange. It's not supposed to happen. I don't know if you really understand it. What Jesus did for you is not supposed to happen. And to prove that it is not supposed to happen, he did not tell the people and say, okay, you people, I actually came I actually came into the world to die on the cross. So at so time, at so month, in so year, you have to kill me. You have to nail me to the cross. He did not say that. Yeah, because he was not supposed to die. Now, to tell you that someone of that high level of authority, someone who is a creator, the maker of the world, he is not supposed to be killed by the people, by the same people he made. It is I don't know the word to use. In the realm of the spirit, it is an abomination. Yeah, let me put it that way. It's an abomination that the creature would kill the creator. It's a great abomination. It's not something that should ever happen. I mean, ever happen. Yeah. So, but God made it happen because of love. And you still don't get it. The power of the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary is not just in the fact that he died. Of course, many people have been crucified like him. Even the day he was crucified, there were two thieves. They were also crucified with him. So many people have been dying like that. Yeah. Though they were guilty, the people that were crucified in those days were people that have committed a crime, and that crime is punishable by death. Yeah. So, but what I'm trying to say is that maybe I should put it this way: what makes the death of Jesus on the cross powerful is not just that they nailed him to the cross, is because he was not supposed to be nailed on the cross. Yeah, it's because of his high level of humility. Yeah, someone very high and then brought himself so low to that point that they could arrest him. Because they shouldn't be able to arrest him. So, but he brought himself so low such that they could arrest him and they could kill him. So that humility is the power that that humility is what made his death so powerful. Yeah. Yeah, that is what made his death so powerful. So for God to so much love you and I with such great love that he humbled himself and gave himself over to be killed. Yeah, that means he consider you very special. I don't know if you still understand what I'm saying. It means he consider you and he consider his relationship with you to be very special, to be very, very valuable or treasurable. Yeah. So that is why this point B says, Jesus bought us. We belong to him. Because he discovered that the only way the generation of mankind can be saved and delivered from sin, from self, from the Adamic nature, from sickness, diseases, Satan, and eternal damnation is for him to die. So he realized that that abomination that should not happen must happen so that mankind can be saved. So that was why he came to die on the cross of Calvary, so that we can be redeemed. So he bought us unto himself, because at first we had been alienated from him. We have been separated from him at first, from the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, we had been separated from him. So he came so that we can be reconciled back to him. Yeah, so that we can be taken back. So that we can be taken back unto himself. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 23, it says that ye are Christ's. Ye are Christ's. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20, it says that ye are bought with a price, your body and your spirit are God's. Yeah. You and I, we were bought with a price. We were bought with a price. Yeah, that means we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to him. It's just as you take some money and then you went to the market to buy maybe a computer or a mobile phone, and then they give you a receipt that you have actually bought this thing and you own it. Yeah, the same thing with our relationship with God and with Jesus. He already bought us. So that makes him to own us. So we are his possession. He owns you. He owns me. So we no longer own ourselves. We no longer belong to ourselves. We now belong to him. Now, you might want to argue, though I don't expect that you will argue. Yeah, that why should I just believe what you're saying? Why should I believe that Jesus owned me, or Jesus has purchased me, and I have no say on my life? Yeah, why should I just believe that? Yeah, the reason why you believe that is because if Jesus had not died, you would have died. In fact, this present generation would not have existed if Jesus had not died. This present generation would never have been. In fact, there would not be year 2022 if Jesus had not died. There would not be year 2022. God would have wiped off the entire human race, just as he did during the days of Noah, during the days of Noah, just as he wiped away the human race. Yeah, he would have done something like that. Yeah, because there is a cup in heaven, and that cup is called the cup of the indignation of God, the cup of the wrath of God, the cup of the anger or judgment of God. Yeah, so every sin people commit in this earth, they become like a liquid in that cup. The more people sin, the more the liquid in that cup keep rising. Yeah, so there is a cup. Let me simplify it by saying that there is a cup for each nation or each continent. Yeah, maybe you live in South Africa. There is a cup that has the name South Africa on it in heaven. I'm rightly in Nigeria. There is a cup that has the name Nigeria on it in heaven. And every sin that we commit, they become a liquid in that cup. Yeah. So the more the sin, the more that liquid of God's anger keep rising in that cup. Yeah. Maybe you have not heard anybody preach like this before. Yeah. So so immediately that cup is full. It means that nation is going to perish. That's what it means. Once the cup of God's wrath in heaven for a particular nation, once that cup is filled up, the next thing is divine destruction. The next thing is justice, judgment. Yeah, and the next thing is God destroys that nation. Yeah, so you can see examples of that in the scriptures. For instance, the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, as the sins in Sodom and Gomorrah got escalated and got worse, God was monitoring, God was watching. So when their sin reached the peak, then God rained fire to destroy the whole nation. Yeah, the same thing for every nation. In fact, the nations that were, the nations that were indigenous of the land of Israel. The land of Israel were formerly occupied by some nations. The Bible called them the Jebusites. If you read the Bible very well, the Bible called them the Jebusites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Ammonites, Amorites. Yeah, those were the former inhabitants, or the original inhabitants, the people who discovered the land, who pioneered the land, who tilled the ground, built houses, set up the agriculture, the economy, and everything. Those indigenous, were destroyed by the army of Israel. And God gave the reasons why he allowed Israelites to destroy them and to take over their land. God said that they had sinned, and their sins has polluted the land. That was why he gave the Israelites the right and the approval to take over the land from them and to kill them with a sword. Yeah, you can read your Bible very well. I just feel like I should give you this breakdown. Yeah, so that you can appreciate what Jesus did very well. Yeah, so God gave the Israelites the right to take over the land from them and to kill them, even though they were the indigenous of those land, because they had sinned, and the cup of God's wrath for that land has been filled. So that was why he executed judgment on them. You know that the ancestors of Israel, which is Abraham, Isaac, they were strangers in the same land. They were first of all strangers. So after that time, the wrath of God has not yet filled up. Yeah, Abraham lived among the Canaanites. Isaac lived among them. Even Jacob lived among them. But at that time, God did not tell them, go ahead and kill these people and take their land. God did not tell them that. It was after some hundreds of years when the iniquity, the sins of those people has filled up in the cup of God's wrath, that God now said, now is the time for you to go and take over the land. Yeah, and God also warned them. He said, if after you have taken over this land and you start living in this land that I give to you, and you now start doing the same thing the former inhabitants of the land were doing, if you now start worshiping other gods as they were doing, if you now start sin against me, committing sexual immoralities and sexual perversions as those people were doing, then I will also, the same thing I did to those people, I will also do to you. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say here. Yeah, so if you read the Bible with understanding, there's a lot in the scriptures that will change your perspective of life. Yeah, a lot in the scriptures. So God told them that if you also continue in the sinful steps of the former inhabitants of this land you now possessed, I will also raise up another nation to destroy you and to take away the land from you. And God did exactly that, because the people of Israel now turned against God. They now start worshiping idols and all of that. You know the story. Yeah, and God began to raise kings to capture them. Yeah, there was a time King Nebuchadnezzar came and carried all of them. Not all. He left some behind, but almost all, like 90% of them, he carried them as slaves to Babylon. Yeah. Why? Because what God said, they did not obey. So now let's come back to the story in the gospel, the death of Jesus Christ. So as at the time when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the sins of almost all the nations of the world, you know, as filled up, or maybe I should say almost filled up. And the only solution for God to save the world is to send Jesus. Otherwise, like I said, if Jesus had not died, this present generation would not have existed. There would not be year 2022 if Jesus had not died. Why? Because our sins would have overfilled up. if I can use that term, our sins would have been too much, and God would have destroyed all of us. So Jesus knew he had to come and die. So as he was dying, we were dying at the same time. And as he resurrected back, we resurrected back at the same time. Yeah. So the Bible says he condemned the flesh, the power that makes people sin. Jesus destroyed that power on the cross of Calvary, so that through that death we can live. Yeah, because since the power that makes people sin is dead, is dead or destroyed on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, so that power in us, we also die if we look unto Jesus, if we accept him. And then thereafter, we now begin to live unto God. Yeah, so let me look for a scripture that further explain what I'm trying to show you. Yeah. There's a scripture that says that that because Jesus died, then we were all dead. Yeah, that is a Second Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And verse 15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Yeah, so if one died for all, then we're all dead. So meaning if he had not died, every one of us will be dead anyway. Yeah, we will be dead just like that. But because he died, we can now live. I don't know if you still get what I'm trying to say. Let me read from another translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read from New Living Translation. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Yeah, it says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our own life. He died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Yeah. It says, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Yeah, because that old life is going to attract God's wrath. The old life we were living before we received Jesus is the life those nations God destroyed were living, the old life. And that life attracted the wrath of God. If you read Romans chapter 1, you will also understand. But since our teaching is central, I'm just trying to prove a point. Yeah. So I don't want to digress to other details. But my point is that the death of Jesus was meant to deliver the whole world from the wrath of God. Yeah, from the wrath of God, like the one that happened in the days of Noah. Yeah. So, and every one of us, we are no longer the owner of our lives. Yeah, because he has bought us. So he is now the owner of our lives. And according to that scripture, it says, now we should no longer, since he has now given us his own life, he has destroyed our old life on the cross. So we should no longer live that old life. And you know that old life is selfish. That old life is when you are living for yourself. That is old life. All you do is to think about yourself, to please yourself, to satisfy your desires. That is the old life. But now he has called us into a new life. Yeah, where we no longer live for ourselves. A new life where we now live for him. So he has completely purchased us. Otherwise, we are as good as dead. So even if we don't die instantly, there is eternal death, eternal damnation waiting for us. There is hellfire. Yeah, let me call it that, so that you can relate to it. I think many people are familiar with hellfire than hell, but it's the same thing. Whether hell or hellfire, it's the same thing. So there is hell, there is hellfire waiting for anyone who still desire that old life. Yeah, so you can now see that for anyone that will choose life, for any one of us that will choose life, which I believe you are choosing life, you are not choosing destruction, you are not choosing eternal destruction, you are choosing life. So for every one of us that will choose life, it means we no longer own our lives. We no longer own ourselves. Jesus has bought us. He has bought us. Yeah. I hope you understand now. Jesus has bought you from whoever is in control of your life, whether it's the devil, whether it's sin, whether it's darkness, whether it's you yourself. Jesus has bought you from those rulers or controllers. So now he's the one in control of your life. Yeah, and he could have just leave you to yourself or leave you to, you know, the ancestral slavery in your country, the ancestral darkness, ancestral bondage, ancestral curse. Yeah, the territorial evil ruling over your continent or country. You could have just leave you to be ruled by Satan. Just as many, everybody in the world are serving Satan, whether they agree or not. Anyone that is not in Christ, they belong to Satan. Yeah, so Jesus could have just leave you, but he did not want you to perish. So that is why he decided to buy you, to hold you, so that you can now live for him and not for yourself anymore and not for the world system anymore. So this means he really loves you. So this is a sign of a very special relationship, a very deep love relationship. Yeah. Because whatsoever a man sow, he shall reap. Yeah. So God could have just left the world to reap the reward of their wickedness and sinfulness, but he decided to save them. Yeah. So that is a special love, a special relationship. Also, if you look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it's saying the same thing. It says, "Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by thy blood." Also in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 19, "Ye were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ." Yeah, you'll see it there. Yeah. So now let's move to point C. Point C, which is instead of making us slaves, he adopted us as children and heirs. Instead of making us slaves, he adopted us as children and heirs. So what is special love and what is special relationship? We do not in any way qualify to be sons of God, to be children of God. We do not in any way, I repeat, in any way qualified to be heirs to the throne and even joint heirs with Christ. We do not qualify. Yeah. Let me describe to you the spiritual hierarchy of humans before Jesus died. Yeah. The spiritual hierarchy of human beings is lower than the angels. The glory God created us with, even before we fell in the Garden of Eden, the glory God created Adam and Eve with is not of the same level with the glory of the angels. It is lower to the angels. So the glory was meant for the earth, not for heaven. Though the earth God created then was beautiful, the earth God created then, especially the Garden of Eden, was like paradise. Yeah, but even as beautiful as that garden was, it was not like heaven. The Garden of Eden was not like heaven. It was still earth, and it does not have the same glory heaven has. Yeah, so the first man that was created was not created to be called children of God, if I can put it like that. They were not created to be called heirs to the throne of God. So we were not even created to be of equal level with the angels. In the Old Testament, when angels appear to people, those people have to bow down. Yeah, when angels appear to people, the people will have to bow and worship Why? Because the glory the angels come with is greater than the glory of man. Yeah. Even Psalm 8, the book of Psalm chapter 8 confirms that. He said, God has created man and made him a little lower than the angels. Yeah. So we do not have the same glory with those who are in heaven as at then, before Christ came. So after Christ came, the angel that appeared to John, to Apostle John, did not allow John to bow down. Yeah, after he gave John such wonderful revelations of the last days, John was so thrilled, and he wanted to bow and worship the angel. He said, "Don't do it." Yeah, he said, "We are fellow servants. We are fellow brothers. So don't try it." Now that tells you that thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That tells you that what Jesus did for us promoted us to be at the same level with the angels, and even to be greater than the angels. Yeah. Because in the kingdom of God, you get promoted according to the level of sacrifices you have done. Yeah, according to how much you have selflessly served God. Yeah. Yeah. So there are people here on earth that in heaven will be greater than angels. Yeah, but no one will be lower than the angels. Yeah, many people that have served God selflessly with, served God sacrificially. Many people have brought many souls into God's kingdom. God will give them places that are even higher than the angels, or higher than some angels. Yeah, but my point is that man was not in that glory until Jesus came. We were not in the glory that is heaven, or that is in heaven. Man did not have that level of glory until Christ came. We were not given access to that level of glory. Though before Christ came, they were prophets. They were anointed prophets of God, powerful prophets of God, but yet they were still limited. Yeah, they were still limited. They don't have what we have today. Even Elijah, as at that time, still did not have access to what we have access to now in Christ Jesus. Yeah, Jesus said, even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than all the prophets of the Old Testament, including Elijah, including John the Baptist. Yeah, Jesus said the least person now in the kingdom of God, meaning that maybe someone that is just newly converted to Christianity today. The Bible says that person in spiritual hierarchy is greater than all the prophets in the Old Testament. So that tells you the kind of promotion, the kind of divine promotion, spiritual promotion that happened to us immediately Jesus died on the cross and redeemed us unto himself. Yeah. So it's a great gift. You might not understand what I'm saying, but I mean, you might not fully understand what I'm saying. But if God open your eyes, you will understand. Yeah. you really understand. So we have access to so much. So much. In fact, I mean, we have access to so much in the kingdom of God now. In fact, we have access to everything Jesus holds. We have access to rule over everything Jesus rule over, because the Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. You know, when there is a king, probably the first son of that king, they call that son head. H-E-I-R, head to the throne, meaning that son is to take over the throne. Yeah, so now the Bible says that we are now together, we are now heads together with Christ. So meaning that literally we are all inside of Jesus. As Jesus is ruling in his kingdom, we are inside of him, taking dominion at the same time. And after this earth has been destroyed, because this physical earth will still be destroyed, and then a new earth will come and a new heaven, Jesus will still share his kingdom dominion physically with many Christians that we have now. Yeah, so depending on how much you have served him here on earth at this time. So in the world to come, there is a world that is coming. In the new world, Jesus will put some Christians in charge of territories, in charge of nations, to rule, just as we have president and we have governors under him. Yeah, Jesus will share the kingdom with those people that qualify for it. Yeah, so presently we are joint heads with him. Yeah. So in the reality of that authority and dominion that Jesus already have, every one of you can exercise authority. Yeah, though not all of us don't have the same level of authority. Yeah, but I don't want to go into so much details. But in your own capacity, there is an authority of Jesus that has been allocated unto you to do exploits for God's kingdom. In the capacity God has called you to function, there is an authority of Jesus given to you. Yeah. To do exploits, to succeed in the calling or assignment God has given to you. So the Bible says we are joint heirs. So meaning that we can literally do the same thing Jesus can do, because we have equal authority and dominion in him. So we can just say, in Jesus' name, I want this thing to happen, and it will happen. Yeah, there are miracles you will do as if Jesus is the one there doing it. Yeah, when you pray in Jesus' name, it means that you are acting as if you are Jesus. Yeah, like you are doing it for Jesus. That's what in Jesus' name mean. Yeah, so he has so much translated us, so much elevated us, so much promoted us to that level. Yeah, where we now have the same thing he have. Yeah. So we are now living for him. We are now doing things that he does also. That is how much he did for you and I because of love. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. It says, whosoever shall do the will of my Father, the same is my brother and sister and mother. In that place, some people came to him, they said, Jesus, your mother and brothers, they are looking for you. They want to see you, they want to speak with you. And then he told them that anyone that does the will of God is his brother and sister and mother. So he's trying to tell them that he's not, how will I put it now, that he has a bigger family than whatever they could see at that time. They were looking at his earthly blood, connection. Or earthly bloodline. But he was setting up creating an heavenly family. With heavenly bloodline, heavenly blood connection or bloodstream. So he was setting up that, and he doesn't want anything to distract what he was building at that time. So he said, he said, this is the reality of God's kingdom. Anyone that does the will of my Father is my blood siblings or relative, or I don't know, is my family, is my brother, my sister. So that tells you how much Jesus has brought us closer unto himself. He could have distanced himself like he did during in the Old Testament. He could have distanced himself. He gave the people prophets. So many of them don't have a personal relationship with him. Even those prophets were still limited in their relationship with him. Though they were anointed, they were powerful, but they still had limitations. But now in the New Testament, there is no limitation to your connection with God. I tell you the truth. Only that many churches have failed God. Many pastors, many ministers have failed God, because what God has called them to do is to stress this fact that every Christian has unlimited access to know God, far better than how all the prophets in the Old Testament knew God. And you go and study how all the Old Testament prophets, how they knew God, how they worked with God. Go and study and compare your own relationship with God now. Compare it to how those people, how they were close to God. And ask yourself, are you better than any of them? And those people at that time, they did not have the blood of Jesus. They did not have Jesus. They only had some grace. They did not have the fullness of the grace we have. Yeah. So we have been called to have an unlimited relationship with God, because He has translated us into a special place in God and in the kingdom of God. Yeah. A very special place that is even higher than everything, higher than everyone, higher than the angels. A very special place. A very special place. So my point is that, are you even aware of everything that has been freely given to you because of what Jesus did for you, because of His redemptive works, all the works of redemption He did, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension into heaven? My question is, are you even aware of what you stand to gain because of all these things He did for you? Are you aware that you are meant to be far more powerful than the greatest prophet in the Old Testament? You are meant to be far more powerful. Are you aware of that? Yeah. So these are the questions we need to ask ourselves, so that we will understand the kind of calling that is upon us. Because every one of us, we have been called out of darkness into light, and into this special place in Christ. Yeah, into this special place in God's kingdom. We have been called to hold or to be installed in this special position. So the question is, are you aware of the greatness and glory of your calling? Yeah. Are you aware of how powerful, how great it is? And then, are you even aware of your identity in Christ? Are you aware that you are not a slave, that you are God's child, God's son? Yeah, because God had to give birth to you again. That's the meaning of born again. God had to give birth to you again. So he gave you a new life, destroyed the old life. Yeah, so we need to really work in the understanding of these things. We need to live and walk in the understanding of these things. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17, it says, "Ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Yeah, if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So if we are children of God, then it means we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we are royal people. Yeah, we are royal people. Anywhere the son of a king is, the royalty of the kingdom goes with him. Yeah, the royal authority, the royal dominion, the royal power goes with him. So, and you dare not touch or injure the son of a king. It's like you have injured the king. So that is who we are. Yeah, that is who we are. And so we are royal people. We are sons of God. We are heirs of God. And he has given us everything he has. Yeah, only that he has not called us to do the same thing. He has called us to do different things for his kingdom. Yeah, just as some people can be called to be apostle, some could be called to be pastor, evangelist, prophet. Yeah, and some could be called to be many things. Could be a kingdom financier, someone that sponsors the kingdom. Some could be called to be missionaries. Yeah, so we have not been called to do the same thing, but we have been given all the power that he has. Yeah, because we are heirs of God. Yeah, so that is who you are. What a special relationship. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 to 7, it says to redeem us, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Thou art no more a servant, but a son and an heir. You are no more a servant, but a son and heir. So that is who you are. So you can be a man, you can be a woman, you can be a boy or girl. So whatever sex you are or gender you are a son in the kingdom of God. Yeah, because in the kingdom of God, they don't have male and female. Why? Because there is no marriage. Like, though there is a marriage, we'll still talk about that. There is a marriage system in heaven, but it's not like the marriage here on earth. If you have read in the scripture before, where it says the marriage supper of the Lamb, somewhere in the book of Revelation, I did not prepare that. So, I may not show you the scripture, but there's a marriage system in heaven that is spiritual, and we would soon enter into that system or dimension after this world has passed away, after we have been ushered into a new realm, a new heaven, a new heart. Yeah, then we fully understand the marriage system that is in heaven. Yeah, but that system is not like husband and wife. Yeah, it's completely different from the marriage system here. So the reason why there is male and female here on earth is because of marriage. And the reason why there is marriage is because people will get pregnant and will give birth. Or God has called them to get pregnant and to give birth. So he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the whole earth. Yeah, so that is why we have male and female. So in the kingdom of God, there is no male and female. So everyone is a son. Even the angels, they are sons. You can read your Bible very well. From the Old Testament, the Bible have been calling angels sons of God. From the Old Testament period, angels have been given that category of sons of God. Like sons. Yeah. So even now, we are sons, not slaves. Yeah, not servants. We are sons. And there is so much about you being a son in the kingdom of God. So much. Which we can't look at all of them now. Yeah, we can't look at all of them. But as time goes on, I will still talk about that. But you just imagine yourself. God is your father. I mean, imagine by yourself that God is your father. You are his son. And God has this dominion. He has this vast kingdom. He has this great power. He has this great glory. And then you are his son. Yeah, so just imagine what it means. Just as you could have earthly parents that are, earthly parents, and let's say, for instance, your father is very rich, he has influence, he has authority, he has dominion. Yeah, so imagine that you are a son to that father. How should you look at yourself? How should you feel? How should you think? Knowing fully well that you are a son, like direct son to such a father. Yeah, so it's something many Christians are not, they kind of confess it, I'm a son of God, but they are not living in the, how will I put it now? They are not living in the reality of it. Yeah, you can confess that I'm a son of God, but not really know what it means and not even see yourself in the benefits of being a son of God. Yeah, so we are going to stop at this point. Yeah, we are going to stop at this point. Let me look at the question. The question here, yeah, there's the question here that says, now that we are esteemed this high, what's the status of our holiness? Should it exceed that of angels? Yeah, that's a very intelligent question. Yeah, now that God has so much exalted us, translated us, he has so much promoted us. What should be the status of our holiness? Yeah. And should it exceed that of angels? Yeah. The first thing is, what is the holiness? What is the status of the holiness of the angels? Yeah, let me start with that. Yeah, before I will not talk about do men, like you and I, do we or must we or should we have a higher holiness? The status of the holiness of angels is number one determined by their nature, their environment, and their purpose. Yeah, so you have to take note of those three things: their nature, their environment, and the purpose for their creation, why they existed. Mind you, some angels in heaven, they don't even look like human. They don't look like human beings. Some don't even have a form. Some angels don't have a form. You know, just like you have a wind, you have the wind blow, and you can't see the form of the wind. You can only feel that wind blow. Some angels in heaven, they don't have a form. They are like, they are even invisible in heaven. Yeah, but I don't want to confuse you more, since these are deep things. Yeah, so some angels, they look like maybe flowers in heaven. And they are angels. Some angels, they look like computer, but they are angels. So usually, angels take the form that will best help them to carry out their purpose, to carry out the purpose for their creation. So they will assume that form. Yeah. Any form, they will assume any form that will enable them to do what God has called them to do or created them to do it at the best level they can. Yeah, so I said their holiness is determined by their nature. So, and the nature of angels is created not to fail. They were created not to make a single mistake. So they were created with the same perfection that is in God, not to fail, not to make mistake. I mean, not to make one mistake. Yeah, I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Meaning that let's say for instance you conduct an exam for an angel. The angel must score 100 over 100, 100%. So the way they were created with a nature of perfection, a nature that must be perfect, because that nature can be perfect. Yeah. So they have enough grace, if I can use the word grace, or they have enough ability to be perfect. Yeah. So that is the nature. And then the environment. The environment there in heaven is an environment of victory. So the environment of heaven is a support of their nature. The environment there is an environment where no darkness can survive. It's an environment where sin is so weak, wickedness is so weak. Yeah, so number one, they have a direct nature from God, like or what English should I use? They have the same nature of perfection that is in God. They have it, and they even have access to more of that nature, to receive more of that nature. Yeah, and not only that, they have an environment that agrees with the nature that is in them. An environment where hardly will any dark thing survive. Hardly with any sinful thought survive. Hardly will any wickedness or unclean thing survive. Yeah. So now the thought is their purpose of creation. So God has created them in such a way that it's so easy for them to do what they were created for. So many of them, they were created in a form that is so easy. For instance, look at the four living creatures, the cherubims. You can see that they don't look handsome. If you read Ezekiel chapter 1, you will see how the cherubims were described. They look strange. They look fearful. They have four faces: face of a man, face of a lion, face of an eagle, face of an ox. Yeah. So they look like that because that is how they will fulfill their purpose. And you know, they have these eyes all around their wings and all of that. You can read Ezekiel chapter 1, you will see the description of those category of angels. Yeah, so God has helped them so well that they could easily do everything they were created for, and they could live the life of perfection so easily. Yeah, and they are in an environment where it is that the environment is even helping them. The environment of heaven is so full of energy that it makes you to always be victorious. Yeah. So now, if you want to compare such you want to compare such level of personalities with we that are here on earth, there is a very wide gap. Yeah. So God will not expect from human beings, in quote, though we are sons of God, but we are still in human bodies. So God will not expect the same level of perfection, yeah, that angels have or angels have from human beings. Yeah, why? Because we don't yet have access to all that they have access to. Yeah, physically now. Though we have access, we have access to everything there, but not the way they have access to it. Yeah, they are physically there. Yeah, but here you have to exercise a lot of faith. Sometimes you have to fast. Sometimes you have to go through sleepless night doing all manner of warfare, meditation. So here we are more of changing. There's a transformation that is going on in many of us. We are more of still changing, still becoming the person that we are already in Christ Jesus. But they are not becoming anything. They already become the person. They already become the perfect person. But here we are still changing into that person that we are in Christ Jesus. So there is so much upon us to fight, to win, than it is for them. Yeah, so there's a very wide gap. A very wide gap. So, and that is why there is blood of Jesus helping us, so that many things in our lives that are mistakes and we don't even know, the blood of Jesus will just forgive. Especially things that you don't even know is wrong, and you just did it. The blood of Jesus will forgive and wash them away because you did not know. They were not deliberate sins Not that you know something is a sin and then you now went ahead and do it. That one you have to repent, because before you be forgiven. Yeah, so it is a very wide gap between the perfection of human sons of God and the perfection of angel sons of God. Human sons, angel sons, like human hyphen sons, angel hyphen sons. We are both sons, but for now, the perfection is not the same. Yeah, and there are still a way of forgiveness, because God understands the weakness of our human bodies. Yeah, so there's still forgiveness going on, though there is still perfection for us, even at this level that we have. But it's not like the angel perfection, angelic perfection. It's not like that. Yeah, but the perfection that we have to work in is a sort of obedience to all the will of God that has been revealed to us, all the truths you know. You must do it, because grace has been given to you to do them. But there are things angels do that you can't do. You don't have the nature to do them successfully. Yeah, even the way they think, the way angels think, you can't think like that. You will run mad. Angels can be thinking, let's say for instance, in the brain of angels could process maybe like 1 million thoughts at the same time. I'm just giving you an example. The brain of an angel could process 1 million thoughts at the same time. He's thinking about 1 million things at the same time, and he's not confused. But tell me which human being can do that? That human being will run mad. Yeah, so there are things they have to do to maintain their perfection that we can't even try. But there are things we can do here to also prove our perfection in Christ. That we can do. I mean, there are things we can do here, and we do it perfectly. Yeah. But there is still, for now, there is still a very large gap between the holiness of angels and the holiness of human sons of God. I hope I've answered your question a bit. So we're going to stop here. There is so much to say, but my point is that everything God has instructed in the Bible, we have grace to do them perfectly. I mean, we humans here, we have grace to do them perfectly. Yeah, but there is a wide gap between our own perfection and the perfection of angel. There is such a wide gap because we are still in the flesh. There's so much limitation this human body we put on. There is so much limitation in this body. Yeah, and that is why it has to continue to die for us to fully walk in the fullness of who we are in God. This flesh has to always be suppressed and have to always be killed. Yeah, so because of this flesh, that is why we can't have the same perfection angels have. So there is a wide gap. But despite that, Christ has given us grace to actually do everything the Bible teaches. Yeah, because God will not ask from you what you cannot do. So if God says sin should no longer have dominion over you, it means you have been given grace to rule over sin. I mean, every sin that you know, Yeah, there are sins that we don't know about. For instance, there are some people you hug, you shake their hands. They are not supposed to shake their hands. So there are many things we do on a daily basis that pollute us, but the blood of Jesus just washes us. So there are sins we don't even know about. So that is why we will always need the blood of Jesus. Whether you know you committed a sin, or you can't remember you committed any sin, you will always need the blood of Jesus. Because your presence in this world means that every second you are polluted, because this world is polluted. So imagine you are living in a world full of dirtiness, mud, everywhere stains you. Yeah, so we always need cleansing all the time. So this world is so full of darkness, everything stains. You might not see the stains, but everything stains us. That is why we always need the blood of Jesus. Whether you are aware you committed a sin or you are not aware, you will always need the blood of Jesus so that we can meet up with all that is in heaven for us, or we can receive all that is in heaven for us. Yeah, so there is a wide gap between perfection of human sons of God and the perfection of angelic sons of God. For now, there is such a wide gap, but soon there will not be that gap again when the kingdom of God finally comes physically. We won't have that disparity again. Yeah, that was an intelligent question. I wish I could speak more on that, but for now, that is what I can, the way I can answer your question for now. But later I might have some other things to say. Yeah, but now that is the way I can explain the difference. Yeah, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this teaching, showing us the beauty of your relationship with us, even the relationship you have established thousands, more than 2,000 years ago, before we were born. Thank you for loving us in this way. Thank you for setting us free from the darkness that corrupts the soul. Thank you for setting us free from the darkness that have separated the whole world from you. Thank you for drawing us closer unto yourself. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. But thank you for showing us that we have now been given something far greater than anyone in the Old Testament days ever had. Thank you for showing us that we can live and walk in glory, in your glory, even right here on earth. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I am asking that you help as many of us who are ready and determined to press forward, to press harder into knowing you intimately, as many of us who are so determined to experience all the realities that are in you. Lord, I ask that you help us by giving us enough grace to achieve these things. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you shall do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We're going to stop here. And we will continue next Tuesday. Remain blessed. Amen.
guy.